Fairhaven, good morning, good afternoon. Great to have you with us. I want to welcome all of our campuses that are joining us right now. I want to welcome all of you that are online. And I don't think I get to do this often. I want to welcome the Centerville campus. As you are watching by way of video, you get to experience what all the multi-sites get to experience, especially as we're thinking about launching Beaver Creek. So those of you that are from Beaver Creek at the Centerville campus, this is your opportunity to kind of see what happens as we are a multi-site church. We are in week two of a series that we're calling Fairhaven Is, where we're talking about the things that are really important to us. We're gonna be mentioning four things that really describe why we do what we do. Don't miss these four things. Out of all the series that we do in this year, I hope that this will be the most significant because it'll remind us of the foundation of who we are as a church. Every once in a while, you just need to remind yourself. You need to review. You need to look back into Scripture and say, what is it that God wants of us? And so that's why we're doing this series. It happens that we're in Galatians chapter 6, and so it is a Galatians plus. If you're a guest, we were just in the book of Galatians, and it turns out that in the first 10 verses of chapter 6, Paul actually describes the things that we care most about as a church, these four things that we're gonna be describing and talking about over these 4 weeks together. If you missed last week, I really wanna encourage you to go online or on our app and download it and watch it so that you can catch up. The truth is they're all interrelated, and so it's really important. Let me start out by saying that Fairhaven is you, it's me. It's all of us. It's all of our campuses. We are Fairhaven. Now, let me be clear here. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. But Fairhaven is you. And that's why we're doing this series. And that's why as you look at the bulletin covers, you'll see all these faces. And these are faces of people who are at each one of our campus. Fairhaven is you. But let me describe for you what we're really trying to do in this series. We're talking about the fact that Fairhaven is a church that wants to be helping people in our cities, in all the cities of where our campuses are, and around the world. We have global staff positioned all over the world, helping people to hear about the name of Jesus. And so we're helping people in all of our cities and around the world to find hope by following Jesus toward life change. And if you write that down or download that from the notes, I think it'll help you because that phrase really describes when we wear our Find Hope t-shirts, that's exactly what we mean. We want to help people in all of our cities and around the world to find hope through following Jesus into life change. And that's exactly why we're doing this series. Grab your Bibles. In all of our campuses, grab your Bibles. I know they've already been marked to Galatians chapter 6. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6 and let's continue on and see what Paul has to say. We're gonna start in verse 1, even though today I'm gonna focus on verses 2 through 5 because these are the verses that we're gonna be zooming in on and unpacking today. So we start in verse 1 and Paul says this, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." And that's the operative word. And if you weren't here last week, circle that because that'll help you even if you watch what we learned last week. "But watch yourself," he says, "or you also will be tempted." We started out last week by saying that Fairhaven is a place where hope is found when we build deep relationships. Deep relationships is what Paul is describing there, and it's in the context of relationships that we come alongside each other, and we restore each other, and we care about each other's lives. But then he goes on in verse 2, and he says this, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." That's pretty important. "If anyone thinks they are someone when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load." If we're gonna be a church that builds deep relationships, then it's gonna require that we be a church that is grace-driven and truth-led. So the first thing that we want to talk about in the way that we find hope is to build deep relationships. And in verse 2-5, here's what Paul is describing, that Fairhaven is a place where hope is found when we lend a hand. That's the second thing, lend a hand. And when I mean lend a hand, I'm talking about when you serve, when you care, when you get involved, when you're willing to influence the city and the world around you, when you make a difference, when you're a burden lifter, as he talks about in here. When we think about our lives as a church, this is the thing that is important to us. I mean, when we talk about lending a hand, that's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer for us, because the stories that we read in the Bible are very clear about the fact that you and I ought to be people who lift each other up, that we ought to lift each other's burdens up. We ought to be lending a hand to each other. It's a game changer. The Good Samaritan is an example of that. I think you know the story of how a man was walking along the road and he was beaten and robbed, and two people came by and ignored him, and the third one came and helped him and cared for him, paid for his hotel, and said, if you need more, I'll come back and take care of him. And that's the example of what Jesus has for us. If we're gonna be a community of faith that is really about finding hope and helping the world and the city around us to find hope, then we have to lend a hand. Problem is, it goes way beyond the doors of each of our campus. When we talk about lending a hand, we're not just talking about the people we know. We're not just talking about the immediate family that you have. We're not just talking about the people that sit to the left and right and in front and behind of you. We talked about that last week as we're building relationships, because you sit near the same people pretty much every single week. And so we're talking way beyond that. We're talking about lending a hand in our church for people that you may not even know, that you hear about, that need help in their lives. We're talking about our city, as we have partners in our city and trying to do all we can to eradicate poverty. We're talking about our world. We wanna make sure that the world around us, even across the ocean, that we're able to lend a hand because it really is the bridge. You see, when you and I are willing to lend a hand, it becomes the bridge in order for hope to be able to travel on. That when you and I care, when you and I help someone, when you and I lift a burden in somebody's life, what that does is it builds a bridge. It builds a bridge in order that the message and the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ can travel on. It's no wonder that Jesus says, go and make disciples. And of course, the question is, how do we do that? Well, we have our answer right here in Galatians chapter 6. And I wanna tell you that as a church, this is how we're gonna make disciples. As we lend a hand, we build a bridge. We build the opportunities. We build the right in order to be able to talk to people about the things that are so very important. Paul says this, let's take a look at it and zoom in and really unpack the words that he talks about here so that we can understand what does it really mean to lend a hand. I wanna mention four things about it so that you can see exactly what Paul is talking about here, so that you can think about it and you can reflect on this, because this is the second piece of how we can find hope. See, he says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. So the first way that we lend a hand is this, that we lend a hand because burdens are a reality. I don't think I need to convince any of you. I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand in any of our campuses if you know somebody that has a burden. I'm not gonna ask you if you've ever had a burden, because I know the answer. I've had burdens, you've had burdens. It's unavoidable. Burdens are a reality. And if you stay with us throughout this entire series, all 4 weeks, here's what you'll notice. You'll notice that each of these ways to find hope are interrelated. Let me describe that. See, to lend a hand, or to serve, or to care, it's gonna take a relationship. And so if you're gonna lend a hand, it happens best in the context of a relationship. On the flip side, to build deep relationships, what's gonna happen is you're going to see the burden in people's lives in order that you can address the burdens of the church. You can address the burdens of our city. We can address the burdens of the world around us. Paul, I think, is making a pretty large assumption. Take a look at verse 2. He says, carry each other's burdens. He's making a very large assumption. And the assumption is this, that we're A, that we're alert to the burdens of the people around us. B, that we actually are willing to act quickly on it, that when you hear about a burden, you're gonna do something about it. We're gonna do something about it. As a church, we're gonna do something about it. Together, we're gonna do something about it. He says, so we're gonna act quickly and we're gonna stay in it. Do you realize, church, that this is probably the most important one, perhaps, of the four that we're talking about, because it will build the greatest amount of curiosity for people who don't know who Jesus is. And you may be here in one of our campuses and you're curious about really what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I gotta tell you that as we're thinking about these four important ways to find hope, that as we're a place where we can find hope, lending a hand, or as we lend a hand, it creates tremendous curiosity. When you're helping someone and you don't even know them, you create incredible curiosity. I remember stopping on the side of a road. I've told you many stories about how I've stopped on the side of the road. Sometimes my sons are with me and sometimes my wife is with me. And not too long ago, we stopped on the side of a road. We were actually on I-75. We were headed south to go to a restaurant one evening, and my wife and I, we were together, and I pulled over, and there was a gentleman whose car was stuck there, and I said to him, I said, can we help you? Is there anything we can do? And he says, I don't know what to do. He says, I don't know who to call. It's after 5 o'clock, and I don't know if there's a company that I can get a hold of. I don't have AAA, and so I knew somebody in this church family. I got out my cell phone, and I called him, and I said, you know a mechanic, and I know you know where a tow truck is. Would you be willing to come and help this gentleman out? Because he's stuck on the side of the road, and he doesn't have any way to get home, and his car is stuck. He was a young adult in his life, and so I even paid for it. I said, here's, I'll give you my card number on the cell phone. I gave him my card number and paid for it. And here's what he said to me. He said, why would you do that? And I'll never forget that. Small thing. I can't even remember what it cost. Such a small thing. And yet it created such curiosity for this guy because all I did was just lend him a hand. Fairhaven, that's who we want to be. That's the kind of church that we want to be. Fairhaven is a place where we can help people to find hope as we lend a hand. And here's the reason why. Burdens are a reality. But you see, burdens come in several different kinds of ways. Sometimes burdens are just incidences that happen, like a guy stuck on the side of the road. Sometimes burdens are seasons that people go through, and we need to walk with them during those seasons. Sometimes burdens are ongoing. You may know somebody that you have been walking with, or you may know somebody who's been dealing with a burden in their life for 5, 10, 15 years. It's long past a season. It's an ongoing thing, and yet we still need to be in it. We need to be there and to provide the help and lending a hand to them. Paul, I think, is alluding to the fact that it is absolutely unavoidable, that as we live out our lives, you are going to run into people, I run into people, that as a church, if we open up our doors to people and we are grace-driven, in other words, anybody is welcome, and we allow them to come in and be part of who we are, it's unavoidable. There are gonna be physical problems and financial problems. There's gonna be emotional problems and mental problems and family problems and problems of addiction. And there's gonna be demonic oppression that people have where the enemy is working really, really hard. And yet there's a verse in the Bible that tells us that. Frankly, it's a verse that I don't think many of us wanna hear. It's found in John chapter 16, verse 33. These are the words of Jesus, quote, you will have suffering in this world. I'll just be honest with you. It's one of the verses in the Bible that I don't particularly care to read. I don't spend lots and lots of time reading John chapter 16, verse 33, because it's not a verse that you and I would like. It's not a verse that you have hanging up in your home. It's probably not a verse that you have on a mug when you get up in the morning and want to have your first cup of coffee, and on your mug it says, you will have suffering in your life. And that's how you start your day off. There's probably none of us that have t-shirts that imprint that verse, or bumper stickers, or it's not any of our life verses at all. And yet Jesus says that it's unavoidable. Burdens are a reality for us. So Paul says, look at verse 2, carry each other's burdens. So the first thing we're going to do as we lend a hand is we got to be aware of the fact that there are burdens all over the place. Secondly, as we look at the same phrase, carry each other's burdens, what that means is that we lend a hand because we are burden lifters. That's who we are. That describes us as followers of Jesus Christ. We are burden lifters. If the Spirit of God is working in your life, and if the Spirit of God is working in my life, and if the Spirit of God works in our lives, it is natural for us to be burden lifters. I would even go so far as to say that if you feel no compulsion to help anybody or to be a burden lifter in life, then you may want to revisit in your life how the Spirit of God is working. Because when the Spirit of God is working and you're yielding and you're becoming different tomorrow than you are today and different next week than you are last week, then here's what's naturally gonna happen. You and I will become burden lifters. It's not a personality trait. It's something that describes a follower of Jesus Christ. I think Paul is making another assumption here. And I think the assumption is that we're not self-sufficient. We cannot solve our own problems. There are burdens in our lives that are just not possible for us to solve. And so there are two things that kind of get in the way of this for us as we think through this. The first thing is that the biggest obstacle for us in lending a hand or being a burden lifter, let's just be honest, is our own burdens. If you have a burden, you're probably thinking, how can I be a burden lifter if I have a burden in my own life? Well, let me tell you how. The Bible is very clear on that. In Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. So if you're here today and you're overwhelmed by a burden, this message sounds like a burden. And we're not here to give you more burden. We're here to describe who we want to be as a community. And hopefully somebody knows about your burden. But in Psalm 55, it says, you cast your burden on God, and he will lift you up. He will help you. He will walk with you. Cast your burden, and God will sustain you, as it says in Psalm 55. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 11 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burden. In fact, some of your Bibles say heavy burdened or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, I think you and I both know, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that the ultimate burden is sin. The ultimate burden that you and I face on a regular basis is sin. It's this brokenness that we have with our relationship with God, and yet it has been taken care of. Jesus is our burden lifter. Am I right, church? Jesus is our burden lifter. So our ultimate burden has been taken care of, that it is a gift that is ours for the taking if you just simply surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You know, there are examples all through the Bible of very strong leaders who found in their life their own burdens and had to deal with them. Moses is an example where he came to the place where he actually admitted it. Can you believe that? If you're a man in any one of our campuses today, you know what I know, guys. It is really hard for us to admit, A, that we have a burden, and B, that we want help. And Moses admitted that. Moses was an incredible leader. And in Numbers chapter 11, he said, I can't carry all the burdens of these people, because he was the one that was asked by God to bring them out of Egypt. There were millions of them. And he was asked by God to bring them out of Egypt and to be a burden lifter for them in all these different situations. And he says, I can't do it. I can't carry all the burdens of all these people. And you know who came along? Jethro, his father-in-law. Man, you know you've heard from me a million times. I love my father-in-law. That's one of the reasons why I love this story. His father-in-law came alongside him, and in Exodus, this is what his father-in-law said. It's not good for you to take all this task on your own. It's too heavy. You got to get help. In fact, he said, you should pick judges or people that can help you to keep order and help deal with the situations and the problems and the burdens that all the people are experiencing. And so you can't be the only burden lifter, Jethro is saying. Get some other people around you. Church, that's who we want to be. Paul, the very one who wrote Galatians, in another book that he wrote in 2 Corinthians, talks about how he was in a city called Macedonia, and while he was in that city, it says that there was trouble, that there was conflict on the outside, meaning there are people picketing and maybe, you know, storming the doors or complaining, or we don't really know what the conflict is, but there was conflict outside. And then he says there was fear on the inside. Those kind of go together, don't they? When we experience things on the outside, we experience fear on the inside. And then it says that God comforts Paul, and here's how he does it, by the arrival of Titus. Titus comes into Paul's life and is the one who provides the comfort. Titus was a burden lifter. So let me ask you a question today. Will you be a Titus for someone? Because we all need a Titus in our life. Maybe another question is, can you be a Titus for somebody who, as you walk around, as you see a church or in a neighborhood or community or in this city or even around the world, as we have some of our global staff with us in our campus's home, we need a Titus in our life. It's much easier to give than it is to receive, isn't it? It's so hard for us to receive help, especially for men. It's so hard for us. And yet Paul is saying, we need to be burden lifters. Matter of fact, you know, sometimes people tell me, you know, I'd love to see a miracle in my life. And you know what's interesting? You can be a miracle. When you are a burden lifter for someone else, do you realize that you could be their miracle? Do you realize that in my life, as I look back over my life, I realize that there are prayers that I asked God, there are burdens that I had, and I laid them before him, and I cast my burdens before him, and Jesus says, I will give you rest. And you know how he does that sometimes? Through people like Titus, who was in the church. And that's the kind of church we wanna be. We wanna be a church where burdens are lifted. And if you're a follower of Jesus, and you're allowing the Spirit to work in your life, then this is not a suggestion for you. Will you take a look at verse 2? Paul says, carry each other's burdens. I want you to notice, it's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. Paul isn't saying, you might want to think about being a burden lifter. He's not saying that. He's saying, carry each other's burdens. He's making another assumption, and that is that if you're a follower of Jesus, you and I don't have an option. That's who we are. That's why it's one of the four significant ways that we're gonna help people find hope as we lend a hand to people. But he goes on, verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. You will obey what Jesus asks. You will help people find hope. But of course, the question then is this, what is the command of Jesus? If I were to ask you, what is the command of Jesus? Because if Paul is referring to the law of Jesus, what do you think he's referring to here? Well, he's obviously referring to when Jesus was gathered with his disciples in the upper room. They were having dinner together. You know the story of the Last Supper, and they were gathering together, and Jesus washed their feet. He took water and he took a towel and he began to wash each of their feet, which is just an amazing mental picture as you think about it, that Jesus lend a hand to the disciples to say, as I do this, I want you to do that. I want you to be a church. I want you to be a people. I want you to be a disciple that is willing to lend a hand and to serve the people around you, even if it means to serve in ways that is so humbling. And so Jesus washed their feet. And when he was finished, this is what he said. Jesus said to them, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this," catch this, "by this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another." Those are absolute incredible words that Jesus is saying, that when you and I as a church, that if Fairhaven is willing to help people find hope because we lend a hand, here's what's gonna happen. What's gonna happen is the world is gonna experience the love of God. In fact, John Stott, an old author, wrote these words that I saw recently as I was studying for this message. And it was amazing to me because it didn't even dawn on me. He says this, that when you and I are willing to lend a hand, when we are willing to obey the command of Jesus, when we're willing to be burden lifters, we accomplish three things. We accomplish loving God, we accomplish loving our neighbor, like the Good Samaritan, and we accomplish loving each other. So when you and I lift the burden of one person, we are accomplishing three things all at one time. One stone kills three birds. It's no wonder that Paul says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will obey what Jesus asks you to do because it is his command for us to do this. Now, I hope you come back week four, because as we talk about these four things, building deep relationships, we want you to lend a hand. On week four, we're gonna talk about the influence that this church has. And church, I want you to hear straight from me as pastor. As I'm so humbled to have the opportunity to pastor and to lead and to love you as a congregation. That's why this is a family meeting. This series is not just a series of studying the Word of God, even though we're studying Galatians. This is a family meeting for us to say, because of what God says here, who do we wanna be? In week four, as we talk about the influence that God is giving us, and I believe that our influence is growing in our communities and in our cities as we have different campuses in different places, as there are people that follow online with us and are in community with us in London and in South America and people all over the country in Colorado and New York and New Jersey on a regular basis, that as our influence grows, catch this, we're gonna talk about this in week four, as our influence grows, then we get to make a greater and greater impact on exactly what God wanted us to do in our city and in the world. Don't miss week four. I'm telling you, we're gonna talk about that. It's gonna be incredible. But here's what's interesting. Take a look at verse three. Verse three, Paul says, "If anyone thinks that they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else." And you're probably thinking what I'm thinking, because when I first read this, I thought, wait a minute, it seems like verse four is contradicting verse three. Let me read it again. Verse three, "If anyone thinks they are something when they're not, they are deceiving themselves." And then he says, "Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else." So should we not take pride in ourselves, or should we take pride in ourselves? Is Paul contradicting himself here? And the answer is clearly no, of course not. But here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying in verse three, he's saying that some of us are going to think, when we hear about the idea of lending a hand, some of us are gonna think about the fact that serving or lifting burdens or helping people in poverty or making a difference in our city or getting involved in something that we're doing with our partnerships around the world, some of us are gonna think, I don't think I need to do that. That's somebody else's job. Some of us might be thinking, you know what? I'm not gifted to do that. And so I don't need to do that. Some of us might be thinking, you know what? I don't have time to be involved in helping somebody or lifting somebody else's burden up, because after all, that just takes so much emotional toll on our lives. And I mean, it's so hard. And yet what Paul is saying is, if that is our thought, that's just pride. That's what he's saying there. But then in verse 4, he says, but when you become a burden lifter, when you're willing to lend a hand, when you're willing to serve, when you're willing to get involved, when you're willing to make a difference, when you're willing to influence, when you do that, you are pleasing Jesus. So don't compare yourself with other people. Meaning there are some people that are gonna lend a hand in a deeper way. Some people are gonna lend a hand more often. Don't compare yourself with somebody else, because here's what happens. Pride will come into our lives. And so on both ends of the stick, he's trying to make sure that pride doesn't enter into the picture when we think about how we're to help people in their brokenness. Church, would you agree with me that as we look around, I mean, as I look around and, you know, here at Centerville and at all of our campuses, would you agree with me? How many of you by raised hand would agree with me that brokenness is on the rise? There is brokenness everywhere. And we see it all over the place. And if brokenness is on the rise, then we have, as a church, the opportunity to help people to find hope. Fairhaven is going to help people to find hope by lending a hand. But Paul says, be careful, because pride can creep in. I don't know if you have ever heard the story, and I'm not even sure the story is true. I saw it actually in a tweet by a DC Comics. They were talking about Muhammad Ali. Anybody know Muhammad Ali? You remember him as a boxer, and of course he was probably, you know, the poster child for pride, right? And in this story that I don't even know is true, and the story is that Muhammad Ali was on a plane, and maybe some of you have heard this, he was on a plane, and as he was sitting there, the flight attendant came by and said, Mr. Ali, you need to put your seatbelt on. And his word was, Superman don't need no seatbelts. And the flight attendant quickly came back and said, well, Superman don't need no airplane. Buckle up, buddy. And so we are warned by Paul here that as we become burden lifters, it's really easy for us to fall into pride, and that's not what we want. But then he goes on, let's take a look as we get to verse 5. He says, for each one should carry their own load. And again, as you look at it, you're like, wait a second. Let's go back up to verse 2. Carry each other's burdens. And then in verse 5, he says, but each one should carry their own load. It seems again like Paul is contradicting himself, and obviously we know he's not, so we're missing something here. And so here's the fourth thing, if you wanna write it down, that as we lend a hand because burdens are very different than loads. There are two Greek words that are being used here. Let me give them to you. In verse 2, it's baros. Baros means a heavy load. And in verse 5, it is fortion, which means a man's backpack. Let me illustrate for you. In verse 5, Paul is saying, each person should carry their own load. Each person should carry their own backpack. And what he means by that is each person should carry their own responsibilities. I have responsibilities, you have responsibilities, whether you're single, married, high school, whether you got kids, no kids, whether you got grandkids or retired or working, doesn't matter. Each one of us have our own responsibilities. And Paul is trying to make this very, very clear. if you're going to lend a hand, there's a difference between carrying a load of responsibility and carrying a load like this here. This thing is so heavy that the only way I could pick this up is I would have to ask one of you to come up here and help me lift it. It's such a heavy load that I can't do this on my own. I need you to help me. It's such a heavy load that there's no possibility for me to lift this on my own. And if I tried, I would hurt myself. Right? I mean, I would wrench my back, I would do something. And so Paul wants to delineate between the two. And he says this, that if you're gonna be a burden lifter and you're gonna lend a hand, make sure you know the difference between a heavy load and responsibility. And that comes into really sharp focus when we begin to think about our own lives, when we begin to think about our own parenting, when we begin to think about who we are as a church family and how we want to help our city and even how we want to help this church, that as we're thinking through the difference between a heavy load and responsibilities. I think you'd agree with me that when we step in and we lift the burden of somebody when they have responsibilities, that creates codependency. That's not what we're looking at here. If we lift somebody's burden and it's their responsibility, we become a rescuer. We become like the Christian first responder, if you will, and to take care of somebody's responsibilities. And Paul wants to make it clear, that's not what he's talking about. You see, if we lift the burden of somebody's responsibility, we're enabling them, if you're a parent. And that's hard, because when you're a parent, you want to help your kids. And sometimes it's really confusing for us to look at their lives and to say, is it their responsibility or is it a heavy load that I need to help them with and make sure that I lend a hand, because that's how they're gonna find hope in their life. In the business world, here's what we call that. We call that dirty delegation. When somebody else does something that we don't want to do, and so we pass on a burden to them. And so what Paul is making very clear is this, that if we're gonna be the church, that if we're gonna lend a hand, then we need to understand the difference between responsibilities and a heavy load. You see, Fairhaven, we wanna be a place where people find hope as we lend a hand. So here's your next step as we end. Your next step would be, who do you know that has a heavy burden that you can help lift that? Whether it might be somebody sitting right next to you here in one of our campuses, it might be one of your family members, it might be something that you have become passionate about in our city, it might be something that you need to become passionate about in our city. Who do you know that has a heavy burden that you can be a burden lifter? Second question. Where are you enabling someone so that actually you're lifting a burden that is not yours? And in fact, you get in the way. And Paul wants to make that very clear. Fairhaven, I want us to be a place where people can find hope, and they'll find hope as we lend a hand. Would you bow with me in all of our campuses as we consider what it means for us to be burden lifters? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing, awesome passage of scripture where Paul is very clear in laying out these issues for us. Lord, help us, because we want to be a place where we build deep relationships, and we want to be a church that thinks about how we can lend a hand to all those around us. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity we've had to gather together as the church. And as we go out into the world, I pray, Father, that you would point out the areas and the opportunities we have to lend a hand. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen.